a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
No, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at La Berge Casino Resort in Lake Charles. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
It's been a fun week for me, too, I must admit. Jazz skies one in the center field. Brandon Marsh going back on it. He'll watch this when it goes. Chaz McCormick in his hometown hits a home run to right center field over the wall where he made that incredible catch in the World Series.
Ma may be here in the stadium, but I'm still going to yell at her. Hey, Ma! The meatloaf!
Chaz's mom, where is she?
Is that the last time we hear Blum say Ma the meatloaf?
Aw, don't do that. That's the saddest way to react to that sound. That bummed me out. That was nothing but good vibes. His mom was in the building,
yeah.
And now you're hitting us with that ugliness.
So Chaz McCormick, after the game, sent down to AAA as we await the official news that Jason Hayward will be joining the Astros, which, like, I still can't believe that, like, that's where we're at this season with the Astros, that Ben Gamble is the hottest hitter on the Astros. Like, since he joined the team, and then Jason Hayward is being signed, and Chaz is being sent down, and Dubon is running 300 miles an hour into the wall. Made another great catch yesterday, though, I will say. Right, I don't know if he robbed a home run or he was like it was right there, mm-hmm. and just like robbed a double. But Chaz McCormick, I kind of feel bad for him.
Yeah,
I read the Chandler piece again, and it sucks. Like,
it's a downer of a situation, especially for it to kind of come to a head at not only the site of his, his championship moment, a moment that will always kind of live on in Astros history, the catch he made in Philadelphia, and then he hits a home run there. It's where he's from. He hits a home run there, and then, what, a couple hours later, maybe an hour later, we get the news that he's getting sent down to Sugarland. So yeah, it's been a tough year for him. Hopefully he figures it out. There is a little bit of me where I'm thinking, like, how much time is there exactly for him to figure things out and then come back in 2024 to make an impact on the team? This might be something where we're looking at 2025 with the next time that Chaz McCormick is taking some sort of meaningful at bat.
Especially if Jason Hayward is competent.
Yeah, which he should be.
And then you have...
He was pretty good his last year in L.A.
Yeah, this year was not great, but last year he was pretty good. And he's hitting 300 against lefties this year. So he's a reverse split guy now. So you have him, Ben Gamble, as like your outfield depth pieces. I mean, Chaz would have to figure it out really quick.
Yeah.
In the minors to turn around. Now,
and even then, the kind of pushback would be, well, you know, let's see it for longer. You know,
exactly.
It could just be the hot stretch. Obviously, I don't know if he's only going to play in Sugarland or if he's going to play in the road games too. But, you know, they play a lot of games at altitude as well. There's a bunch of inflated home run numbers and power numbers in that league that the Space Cowboys are in. So it's going to be kind of hard to parse. Again, such a small sample.
I mean, look, this is a playoff team, so you know they've made the playoffs officially. The Space Cowboys. So Chaz McCormick is going to be taking. I mean, when you look at the Cowboys,
I did say meaningful at bat for the Astros.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't. I'm not to minimize the meaningfulness of the at bats that he's going to take.
The Sugarland Space Cowboys will have two members of the World Series team on their roster as they pursue a Pacific Coast League championship. I think that's the league that they're in.
Yes,
I forgot.
It's the PCL.
All right, so here's what. Since we're at a sports book, if I told you had to make a bet, $25, simple, no big money, so no stressing over this, on Chaz McCormick, Rafael Montero, or Forrest Whitley making an impactful appearance, one, in the postseason for the Astros.
God.
Who are you taking? Chaz, Montero, Forrest Whitley.
I mean, luckily, I don't expect any of these guys to make an impact. So I never have to. I hope I'll never have to actually face the possibility of this. God, I hate this. I hate what you just did to me. I'm about to put money on the Washington Commanders to win the division in 2024, and this is actually a harder choice for me to make. I'm going to go Montero. I think it's just simply, like we were talking about Chaz, there's not really a lot of time for him to go down and then come back and make an impact. Where Montero, hey, he got sent down a month ago.
I still don't think he's given up a run yet in the minors.
Still, so he's a proven performer in the stretch run for the Space Cowboys as they march on to a championship. So give me Rafael Montero. You said make a playoff impact. You did not say positive or negative.
Oh,
that makes me feel even better about this pick.
Okay.
So, yes, give me Montero. I think he has one appearance in the playoffs.
All right. Hugh Dab says Montero. Ryan says Giant Meteor has a better chance to make an impact.
that is true. That is.
I'm gonna take Whitley.
I would say
Whitley.
It was between the pitchers.
Give me something fresh. Give me something new. Give me something that, you know, over 10 plus appearances, he's got over 20 strikeouts. He's barely walking guys. He's got a below one ERA. Give me something like just something.
Give me something. You
know, like, I like. Do I want to see Forrest Whitley or Caleb Ferguson? Forrest. Do I want to see Forrest Whitley or Caleb Ort? Oh, I kind of like Caleb Ort.
Ort's growing on you?
Yeah, Ort and King are growing on me.
King, definitely. King was kind of my go-to of like.
Ort's got some gas, though.
Hey, sign someone, send King down. Now I'm like, King can maybe stick around. I'm not quite there on Ort. Ort's fun to say, but I'm not quite there on him as a guy I trust when he jogs out and takes the mound. So I like Whitley. I would like to just see Whitley again. Maybe not even in. I mean, definitely, I would not like to see him in a playoff scenario unless the Astros are up 10-0 in Game 4 of the World Series.
Or you're in 18 innings again, like you were when you played Seattle a couple years ago.
Even then. What they did in that situation just have was that Luis Garcia?
Yeah,
that was when
Jose Urquidy was the right. Was it Urquidy?
I forgot if it was Urquidy or Garcia.
No, Garcia went long. Urquidy was the only pitcher who didn't pitch.
That's right.
They didn't use him.
It's so long ago that you know who started that game for the Astros? Lance McCullers.
Oh yeah, yeah. Lance McCullers.
That was one of the last three starts he's made for the Astros.
Lance McCullers is only going to pitch for 2 more years.
Really?
Yep.
What's going to happen to him then?
He's going to retire.
Oh.
I got to pull the audio. I got to send the audio out, so I forgot. Lance was on What's Eric Eating, our podcast with Eric Sandler.
Yeah.
And Eric asked him about his career, and he didn't say it like, I'm retiring in 2 years. But he's like, well, I probably got 2 more years after this one to like really figure it out, and then I want to be a dad.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, so like Lance is going to finish out his contract.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
And then walk away.
I was going to ask, where is he getting the 2 years from? Is it
it's his contract.
Exactly line up with his contract? That makes sense.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'd like to see, you know, he's someone I'd like to see make an impact on a playoff team again. Definitely not this year.
2025?
Yeah, I'd like, hey, if 2025, I'm ready to get my heart, I won't get my heart broken by Lance again. Because I think at this point I've built up enough of a callus to where...
No, because see, what can happen is he can come back and he can like pitch really, really well in the regular season.
And he was
a get
good
you excited.
He was
I know.
A good pitcher in 2022. That's really one of the most frustrating things about all this.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. We are going to get some more grub in here. And then Chef Lyle, who made this wonderful food for us, will be joining us next year. It's Glenn and George broadcasting live from the Sportsbook at LaBerge Lake Charles on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at La Berge Casino Resort in Lake Charles. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gallant and George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Sportsbook at La Berge Lake Charles. Sean Mapes filling in for Paul this week while he's out on vacation, and joined now by one of our favorites when we're here, Chef Lyle. Chef, what's going on?
How y'all doing, man?
Good.
I'm good.
We were doing well.
Now we're doing better.
And then now we're doing even
food.
Better
yes.
after bringing us this platter.
All right, talk to me. Let's start with the wings because they're incredible. So what kind of – this is a new platter you guys are going to be
debuting?
Yeah,
we made it twice the size of what it was.
Okay. Call us fat?
No, nah, man. We kind of wanted.
We got the VIP treatment, is what it sounds
like.
No,
this is the actual platter.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we wanted it to kind of like turn heads when it went out, so we'll sell more. So
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
So we had the beef sliders.
Slider tower, yeah.
Slider tower, which was cool. What's the sauce on the wings? Like,
that's sriracha honey.
Okay.
Like sriracha, regular sriracha and hot honey.
It's incredible.
Yeah,
it's,
I like
it.
That's one of my
favorite things.
Too.
Yeah.
So this is like
pickles, jalapenos.
Pickles, jalapenos, pickled green beans. All pickled.
Yeah.
Pickle them all together, then we fry them.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
So that's actually a new app that we're going to be doing.
Okay.
Really? So this is something that, you know, even without the whole platter, this is something that you can get as an app.
Every
when
you one
sit
of
down
these
here.
Could be broken down as an app.
Like, okay.
You could buy
there
the sliders. We got four different kinds of sliders. They all come on towers like this.
Yeah. I've had the pork ones before, Razorbacks.
We added another one, a hot honey chicken one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's going to start.
As a slider. That's great.
But they come on these towers. So.
Uh-huh.
So, look, we started these towers about 2 months ago. I got kind of bored, and it's like, man, they just look so – no, I'm saying, no, these look so plain on this little plate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I was just looking around, and I saw this onion ring tower. And I'm like, I could put sliders on that. Then we tried it, and I'm like, sliders. My cook's in the back. They just like, man.
So this is – I mean, the first time we came out here was for March Madness.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the first time that, you know, obviously we had talked, and you said that you were starting to work on – a new menu ideas, and so this is kind of like that rollout then.
Yeah,
I guess at this point
this
for football
is a rollout
season.
I mean, we added chicken crackling.
Okay.
So look you can get this one in like mesquite, Nashville dry rub.
Okay
Oh, we did the same thing, the sriracha honey on that one.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we did like a fried corn rib and like garlic butter, parmesan, and like a little blackened seasoning.
Okay.
And that's going with sriracha honey mayo. That's going to be a good one.
How much time do you spend just sitting there, either in the kitchen, in an office somewhere, trying to think of these kind of these different innovations that you're doing? Not just putting them on towers, but the different combinations and working with hot honey and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of time, because like today, like we're closed, we open at 4, mm-hmm. So we got a whole full kitchen to myself, like to just. See what works, see what don't work. You could do it 10 times in a row, make it perfect. Imagine me doing 100 of them at a time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then we're like, yeah.
And then when you're testing things out, is there someone that you trust as your tester for, did this work out more?
Like, is it only yourself?
No.
Is there someone out here that you're like, this guy knows ball?
Hey, let me tell you something, crew. My staff is brutally honest.
Good.
So if you give them something that's terrible, that they will not hold back, you know, like most guys.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, chef, that's awesome.
Oh, chef, that's awesome. Nah, they're not going to lie to me.
Okay, that's good.
This is disgusting. All right, cool.
So when you're making food and you're thinking about what you're going to put out there, because you got time's got to be a factor too, right? Because if you got a full sports book, you can't take something that – you can't have a ton of things on the menu, I'm guessing, that take forever to cook. You got to be able to boom, 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 boom.
The time it takes to go out and to prep. Mm-hmm. How long is it worth me pulling somebody an hour to make this happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like just to get it prepped, and then what's the time? If it's going to be something that's like 30, 40 minutes, it's not even worth it. We do it as a special one day, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was a menu item. Nah, I was. We wanted to go out at a decent amount of time, but we wanted to be good too. You know, we're not going to rush slop. We still want it. If we get it out in. That's the challenge, right? Get it out hot and fast, you know. But not fast food fast. We're not there.
Yeah, but
it would never be that
there,
way.
There's some time element there, and then it's also something where you're trying to do new things. So it's not just a simple like, this is something that just takes 5 minutes. You're getting pulled by two different directions of wanting to make things more interesting and more interesting to eat versus it taking a while.
So I actually got lucky, man. My staff, they adapt to change, like, real, real easy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to roll out a new menu tomorrow.
So a full menu tomorrow.
And guess what? They're going to be ready tomorrow.
Nice.
I mean, well, they know most of it. We've been running it special. So most of the stuff is not really new to them. They've seen it. Mm-hmm. They've seen it.
It's
they've
just
done
gonna
it
be
over
new
and
for
over.
Us.
New for y'all.
Yeah.
I mean, my staff, I think we start off as specials, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and so it's not like we're just throwing stuff on the wall and see if it sticks. Every menu item we have ran it before as just special off menu, and it worked. Some of the stuff we ran off menu, we were like, man, it works, but we're not going to be able to do it. You know? Like we did it, like this thing with hand cut fries and brisket. And we're like, there's no way we're going to keep up with this. Like, it's going to be so good. Like, we're going to have a guy just in the back just cutting fries. That's his job. I'm like,
what'd you do today? Cut fries.
Just cut fries. I'm like, man, sound good, but we can't execute it.
Yeah.
It's too much. Yeah, on scale.
It's too good.
Yeah.
So we'll save that for another day.
So what's it just like, try to best describe what it's like to be back there on college football Saturday, NFL Sunday. What's
man,
it like?
It is crazy. It is like controlled chaos. Like, if you walked in, okay, you walk in this college football Saturday. You walk back there around noon, you might like, just like, what's going on?
Yeah.
This makes no sense. It's crazy. And we was like, yeah, it's about right. It's the way it goes. From the outside looking in, like, this place is crazy. But then to us in the back, we're like, exactly what it's supposed to go.
That's a five. That is just it at room
keep,
temp.
Keep going.
That's so crazy.
Like most of my staff been here since we reopened. So they already kind of know the expectation. They already know football season's coming. Mm-hmm. They already know one Saturday they're going to come in. There's going to be a line of people hanging out the door to get in here on Saturday, and they already know it's going to be all day. And then Sunday, same thing. You're going to get here, line of people waiting.
All day,
you know. Like March Madness, same thing. They know. Then you got like baseball. Then you got, perfect example. Texans made the playoffs last year. It was standing room only.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. So.
Yeah, I'd imagine like if the Astros make a playoff run, it's like when they're in the playoffs, it's really
so
crazy.
One year we had when the Astros won the World Series, and we had an LSU.
Alabama, yeah.
Same day.
Yeah.
I remember because Alex Bregman was talking about that game in his post game because he's an LSU guy.
Dude, and we did a buffet on the patio that day. So it was like, how did we pull this off? So, yeah, speaking of buffet, we do tailgate. We got a tailgate buffet coming up next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
It's going to be nice.
Yeah, because remember it was March. We did a buffet. Nah, it was a buffet for March Madness.
It's
going
to be different, though, man.
Oh, yeah?
Really? So we already, I don't know if y'all know, Saturday and Sunday. And we're just gonna transition. It was normally Friday and Saturday because of the game. Saturday and Sunday, we put a smoke on our patio.
Oh, nice! Mm.
Beef ribs, St. Louis ribs, brisket, jalapeno sausage, regular sausage, brine chicken. The stuff sell out. I'm talking 8, 9 o'clock. We'll start at 5. We're gonna start the time earlier at noon on Saturday and Sunday for the game. So, you know, and we'll go until it's gone, but. The tailgate menu will be similar to that. We did stuff like baked brisket macaroni. We'll take the burnt ends, make mac and cheese with it.
Mm. Oh,
yeah.
There we go.
Kind of like these smoked turkey legs.
Yeah.
You know, this is the name of a few. It's going to be good, man. Like,
this is making me regret going to the A&M game on Saturday and not just staying here all weekend.
Oh, man.
I have one question about the tailgate, which we mentioned when we were out here for March Madness.
Uh-huh.
There's one item that caught all of our eye, and I just want to know.
What was
that? Just want to know if it's going to be here going forward in the football season. It was the Boudin egg rolls.
They're so good.
You got it.
We've been talking about them. It's been
nonstop.
It's been four months since we went. Every time I have Boudin, I have egg rolls, I'm like, I remember when these two things were together, and it was the best moment.
All right. I'm not going to upset y'all. It's not going to be on there. But it will.
Okay. But it will.
I happen to add it on there, but since you asked about it,
okay.
I'm going to go and order it. And
we're gonna maybe have a special or something?
No, we're going to have it ready out there.
Oh, really?
Put a little small thing.
There we go.
If you said it caught everybody's attention, like, all right, we'll throw it out there.
Yeah, it was great.
It was awesome.
Honestly, it was my first time having boudin.
Real? Whoa.
I'm from Illinois.
Yeah, he's from
Illinois. Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't hear that a lot.
We had a lot of Cajun food this week.
Where are you from?
I'm from Houston.
Not right around.
And every time the Cajun food came, we'd have someone at the office being like, "Oh, what's this? This is the first time I've ever had this."
Yeah, so you got people that moved to come work with us, and
yeah.
So we've had Cajun food the last 2 days.
Yeah, so we had a Tuesday, Wednesday,
because the best stop just moved to Texas, really.
Man,
so we started going there.
So, dude, I went there pre-opening, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And Katie,
yeah. That's where we were yesterday.
Well, a friend of mine. His cousin owns the place.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So, like, 2 weeks before they opened, we were in there just
all right. Yeah.
Watching it come in, eating, and It's a nice place.
Yeah, yeah, so we were at the one in Katy yesterday, so yeah. It's a cool place.
Yeah, that's the one, yep.
Well, Chef, thank you for joining us as always, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Chef.
Yeah, new food tomorrow, man.
All right, come check it out. The Sportsbook at LaBerge. I can't recommend the wings, the sliders. It's all good. I mean, Paul's gotten everything here as well when he's come. So, and do we still have the Death Burger on the menu?
We kept it.
You kept it. The one thing. Now, look. So, if you're a spicy person, that's on there for you as well. It's Galant & George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at LaBerge Casino Resort in Lake Charles.
Galant and George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Sportsbook at LaBerge in Lake Charles. Some of the new changes already taking place that can't talk about it yet. But
can't talk about it.
And we'll start talking about it tomorrow. So a lot of exciting stuff happening here at the Sportsbook, whether it's a new menu, it can be some new-looking stuff as well. But it's also, it's just football season, so it's like, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing our final – what do we do tomorrow? Are we going to do final four predictions or just do all 12?
For the playoff?
Yeah. I feel like you have to do all 12.
Yeah. Maybe just conference winners.
The conference winners? And I'm fine with that.
And then final four.
I'm good with that. Yeah, it's – this is going to be a fascinating season. I was just thinking back to what we were just talking about with coaches on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
I really do wonder, like, how many big-time coaches are just – like, when do you think the change happens with the college football playoff? Like, how long can they just win a first-round game before the pressure heats back up, a.k.a. James Franklin? Because right now, James Franklin would be on the hot seat if this was the old way.
Yeah.
But now, it's like they're going to make – Penn State's going to make the college football playoff. And they're going to win a game, most likely in the first round.
Yeah.
How long can you do that for? How long is that acceptable for?
Yeah. When the change first came, where it was a 12-team playoff, the initial take was like, wow, this helps teams like Penn State so much because they can win 9-10 games in the regular season. They just can't beat Michigan and Ohio State most years, or really any years that James Franklin's been there, and I get it that makes it an easier path for them to make the playoff. But what you brought up is a good point. Is like, well, yeah, then they have to play the good teams that they struggle against. Like what you're saying, yeah. When they can beat all the teams in the Big Ten, they just can't beat Ohio State and Michigan. It's like, yeah, the two best teams, they can't beat perennial top five. Ish kind of level programs. When you're in the playoff, you're only going to be playing top 10 teams. So there is something where I do think that that the teams that are like that can make the playoff but can't do any damage in there, I do think that there's going to be some level of reckoning mm-hmm. that happens with those coaches. I think it really just kind of depends on what school you're at. And
look, maybe what your history has been, like, for example, with James Franklin, where – because even then, like, if they lose in the first round, it's like, well, then who cares about making the 12-team playoff?
Mm-hmm.
If you're just going to lose to Arizona or Utah or someone in the first round of the playoffs, like, as in a 7-10 matchup, like, you might as well just not be there.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think it's something where, I mean, this goes into our coaches under pressure conversation from last hour, but there's something with, how does this team or how does this program view itself? Where we're talking, we mentioned Ohio State and how they basically have to basically win a championship, beat Michigan, win the Big Ten, and compete for a national title.
Mm-hmm.
That's the standard that they're at. Where there's other teams, like we brought up with Notre Dame, where it's like, hey, just make the playoff.
Yeah, win a playoff game.
Yeah.
Maybe get lucky.
And so I think some of it will have to do with how these teams view themselves when they start hitting their ceiling of, you know, if you're a coach at Ole Miss, if you're Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, I think they'll be happy enough with you making the playoff, maybe winning a playoff game, because that's something where that's heights that the program hasn't reached in over 50 years.
Yeah.
And so I think that is going to be a little – they're going to take – you know, those kind of results differently than an Alabama would or Ohio State or Texas or these teams that think more of themselves than just make the playoff, win a game, we're happy.
Yeah, what's your list of programs that are like championship or bust right now?
that right now that are
at least championship. Let's go championship game because you can't one team wins. So Georgia.
For 2024.
Yeah, Georgia.
Georgia, Ohio State,
Texas.
I don't know if they're probably semis or bust. I would say.
Okay.
I don't know if they're national title. I mean, but at this point, like, what are we talking about? We're talking about one extra game. So, yeah, I would say them. I'd say Oregon is up there. I mean, we're just naming the top four in the AP poll right there. I think
that's my list.
Yes, for teams and that are realistically capable of doing that. And preseason-wise should be held to that standard. I don't know if they're quite there.
No, I think because you have a new coach, you can't live to that standard.
No.
I think you have to pull back a little bit.
Yeah.
With, like, still have expectations of greatness, but, like, you're not Georgia. You're not, Georgia is expected to run the table.
So, talking about, like just out of the SEC teams, I think Georgia, Texas, you're right, championship or national championship game or bust. I think Alabama is in a spot of their own of be a top team in the SEC, maybe make the SEC title game, maybe be the next team out, like the third team in the SEC, make noise in the playoffs. And then I think the other teams in that conference, for the most part, and of course they're SEC fan bases, so this isn't really true for them, but they should know that, like, hey, we're not quite on that level, and maybe making the playoff, winning a game, that's more of what the expectation should be for Ole Miss, Tennessee, LSU, these kind of teams.
Yeah, King of Twitch asks, why is Georgia a championship or bust? I think that's their expectations.
Yeah, because they won back-to-back championships in 22 and 23.
I
21 and 22. That's why.
Yeah, I don't.
Because they win national championships.
Yeah, I don't think that, like, this is, like, outside pressure. Like, maybe putting Oregon in that category is outside pressure, but, like, if you've kept your quarterback and your coach, or, you know, and you have Kirby Smart as your head coach, or you're Texas with your coach and your quarterback coming back, like, I think that there are certain schools, like, those are what you believe in. Even with Will Howard, who, like, I don't totally believe in at Ohio State, and because he's really there because he's going to lose his job at Kansas State. Like, you're championship or bust. Like, there's a certain point where you have a threshold to where your expectations have to grow. Colorado make the playoffs this year?
No.
Any chance?
A chance, but I don't have it as a high chance.
Yeah.
I think they're more likely to be in the, like, 4, 5, 6 range, like mid table, a Big 12 team with 16 teams.
I agree.
Yeah, because I would just in the Big 12, I'd have Utah, Kansas State over them.
Arizona.
Those are three that I feel pretty good about. And then you'll have teams like Oklahoma State, who played in the Big 12 title game last year. They should probably be up there. They bring back a lot of production. They bring back Ollie Gordon. They bring back Alan Bowman for his ninth year of college. Kansas. You have Kansas in there. You got UCF, another team that should be on the rise in year two in the Big 12. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough conference. All these teams are about as good as each other. Like, all the teams that I mentioned, I could see winning the conference.
That's why I think there's only one team. I think what we said yesterday was correct, that there's, between the ACC and the Big 12, there's three teams. They will all get their at-large bid, obviously, and there will be probably one more team.
Yes. Yes. I think it'll be between the ACC, it'll be whichever team of Miami, Clemson, Florida State, maybe Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Whichever team doesn't win the ACC title game, like losing the ACC title game out of that bunch versus the team the team that loses in the Big 12 title game.
I can't wait for them to go on television and try to explain to us the rankings the first time. Because it was already bad as it was with four teams. And then now they're going to be peppered with, like, hey, why is this team at 7 and instead of out of the top 12? Why is this team that's ranked 20th not in? Like, it's going to be comical, I think, watching them to try to defend, almost to the point where, like, I kind of want them to get rid of, like, the person trying to defend it.
Yeah.
Just to feel it.
It is better with just, here are our rankings. Because what the person who has to defend it has to do, has to explain the reasoning of what a committee made up of 12 people came up with.
Yes.
And the reasoning for why this happens doesn't change. Like, it's not consistent. It always changes. Like, where, hey, you valued strength of schedule in this team versus this team, but not three spots lower when it's these two teams. It's like, yeah, because it's 12 different people having to make this conversation. I think another part of it's going to be also in the four-team era, it's pretty easy just to line it up by losses and then kind of rank the losses. So for the most part, it's only relevant for the top, I don't know, six
yeah.
at most years for, hey, this team has zero losses, so they're going to be number one. This team has one loss, and these next, like, four teams have one loss. Who has the best loss or who is the best team out of this bunch? I think that's kind of going to be harder now with the not only the expanded playoffs, so you're dealing with more teams. You're also going to be dealing with more losses. You're also going to be dealing with the fact that we named three teams in the SEC that should be pretty close to the top of the playoff rankings with Alabama, Texas, and Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
One of these teams is going to have two or three losses because Texas and Georgia play each other, Alabama and Georgia play each other, and we think these three teams, two of them are going to play each other in the SEC title game. So these teams are going to rack up some losses, but they're going to be held in a higher spot, and they're going to be thought of as a better team than a team that goes 10-2 in the ACC.
I still want, is a 10-2 ACC team better than a four loss SEC team for you to put them in the college? Like, let's assume like it's been they lost four games, but they were all pretty good games.
I think four is tough.
You think four will be tough?
I think four, you're out.
It'll be three. Three will take the SEC team for sure.
Yeah,
I think there's even a question.
I don't know if anyone in four, any four loss team can make it.
Yeah,
maybe if like Florida lost four games because they have such a hard schedule.
The other part of it is because you almost have to like have like the perfect schedule to lose four games.
Yeah,
because you also would have had to beat a bunch of good teams.
Yeah, or you have to make the title game and that's your fourth loss.
Yeah.
So you have to go 9-4, where you have three regular season losses and then lose your title game. It has to get really weird like that for me to see a four-loss team in any kind of play.
Yeah, without the auto bid.
Or you could just win your conference.
Well, that's what's always going to be the most fascinating. Is like if you have a weird conference, like the Big 12 is a good example of this, where the number two seed, let's say it's Arizona, has four losses and they play one loss or no loss Utah – in the Big 12 championship game, Arizona wins that game. They're in the college football playoff. What happens to Utah?
That probably is going to be the decider in the at-large, like we're talking about where we think it's one at-large between them and the ACC, where if the ACC it goes more to chalk, where it's like, well, this team, it's going to be Utah, who we thought was going to be they're a higher-ranked team. And so it's more of a college basketball-style, like, bid stealer, where an at-large spot gets taken up because a team that wasn't going to make it won their conference.
At least they got rid of the divisions, though.
Yes.
Can you imagine Iowa pulling the upset in the Big Ten title game?
Yeah.
And making the college football playoff. Like, what a disaster. What a disaster that would have been.
Yes, you're right. You say that. I saw a stat today or this week, I think, and it was out of respect for the dearly departed Big Ten West.
Uh-huh.
That I think it was a Big Ten West team never won in Indy in the Big Ten title game.
Yeah, never.
It was always the East team that won. They were like 0-12 or something in that game. And sounds about right, but also pretty unbelievable that they didn't luck into like one win.
Especially because Wisconsin had some good teams.
They had some good teams. Yeah. And there might have been, I don't know, was there an Iowa team that might have been good? Like, it's just crazy.
Iowa's defenses were always great, but their offense was trash.
It's crazy looking back. I think it's going to be something that we do look back on in 10, 15 years. We're like, remember when we had divisions and they're just crazy lopsided.
I still wonder one day if we will see a conference
legends and leaders
get rid of the championship game. That if a four loss team somehow makes the championship game in the ACC or the Big 12, and they win, and it screws over the conference from having your best team in, I wonder if we will see, you know, like the Ivy League schools do this in March Madness. They don't have a tournament. They just take the regular season winner.
No, it won't be the ACC or Big 12. What it'll be is a Mountain West, a American, a Sun Belt.
So there's no upset to knock them from the top team to below.
Yes, because
that makes sense.
We saw, was it last year?
Last year. SMU, right?
SMU beat Tulane. Tulane was in the obligatory best team in the G5, so we're going to rank them 23rd. I think that's the risk that you run when there's a playoff game at stake where it's, hey, our conference is going to get eliminated from the playoff if the wrong team wins this game.
Yeah.
Let's take away this game. And it probably will be something that a conference needs to get burned once before it happens.
Yeah. And then once it starts, it's just going to roll downhill. All right. We're going to take a timeout. When we get back, we will wrap up the show to get ready for the Astros game tonight. And a little garbage time. That's next here on Glatt & George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at La Berge Casino Resort in Lake Charles.
Final segment of Gallant and George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sean with us this week as Paul is. Sean's always here. He's filling in for Paul. Yeah. Austin's back in studio. We're here for today, and then we'll be back doing the show here tomorrow as well. We'll be getting some gambling in, some college football betting in. I haven't decided if I'm going to do it. I got to do it. At least one season play while I'm here. Don't know what it's
NFL or college or what?
Maybe one of each.
Okay.
Maybe one of each.
Is it going to be, you're thinking, like a national championship or a Super Bowl winner or like we were talking about with Matt, maybe a conference winner in football?
I know I did do a thing on this. I like the Bears plus 225 to be a wild card team.
Okay.
Saw that one I liked because it's like you have three shots at it. Like it's just.
Yeah.
It's like as long as they make the playoffs and don't win the division, like you cash no matter what. So I kind of like that.
Yeah.
No, I'm probably going to go with the over for Atlanta this year. I am a believer that they're going to be good this year, that they're going to win 10 games. I'm kind of leaning there, and then I don't know about college football yet. I might do an A&M play.
First Saturday? On the wins?
Yeah, on the wins for the season.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, a lot of what Mike Elko has to do at A&M is just not be Jimbo Fisher, not be incompetent. Be competent.
Mm-hmm.
They still have a good amount of talent from those recruiting classes. I know a lot gets made about all the guys that transfer, but they kept a good number of them too.
Yeah.
And a lot of those transfers.
And they got a bunch of transfers too.
Yeah, and a lot of the transfers that transferred out, they haven't really been like killing it at their new spots. So I think there's a little bit of underrating that's going on with A&M this year. I do think they should be in the like 8-9 wins range.
Yeah.
Maybe not 10.
I'm curious I wonder what the hit rate is for a transfer portal. Like how many guys like go into the transfer portal and like have like success.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Now I know there's a lot of guys who go into the transfer portal and then they literally their careers are over.
Yeah.
They don't find a home.
Yeah.
So because no one wants them actually.
Yeah.
I mean, then again, the transfer portal is crazy. I mean, we saw our guy, Ruben, Unije, who was at Coug last year.
Mm-hmm.
He puked on the field, if you guys don't remember. I love you, Ruben.
He's doing good.
He went to the transfer portal. He was at, I think, like Louisville?
Yeah.
And then he was back into the portal, and now he's at UCLA. Like, I didn't know you could, like, go into the portal, leave the portal, and then, out.
There's a few guys like that. I think there is a UTSA receiver who went to Ole Miss and then Illinois, I want to say, who did that.
There's the Iowa, Alabama kid,
yes.
The offensive tackle who went to Iowa and then back to Alabama.
Yes, and there's Texas had a linebacker that went from Alabama to Texas to UTSA. Very, very strange.
That's a weird jump.
Yeah, so there's a lot of moving parts. It would depend on what you classify as success. Like, is it being a starter? Is it being a good starter? That kind of thing for finding out the hit rate, but I do think that it gets talked about as if, like, yeah, we're just going to go into the transfer portal, find a starter. Doesn't matter, you know, quarterback, receiver, definitely on the lines. It's really hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, people talk about it like it's a sure thing, and it is anything but a sure thing. It's probably a little bit better than doing the recruiting, like depending on a 18-year-old to then develop, and in 2 years he's ready to take over. I get it from a quick fix kind of scenario, but it's still anything but a sure bet.
All right, let's get to garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
From the producers who brought you Tiger King and from Bill Simmons of The Ringer, Mr. McMahon, a documentary series chronicling the rise and fall of WWE's controversial figure comes out on September 25th. I cannot wait. The best part about this is that Vince is in it.
Oh.
Because this was not supposed to be this documentary. This was a positive documentary. He got fired. The scandals, all the allegations, the sex trafficking, all of it came out while they were filming. So he's probably only in the first part?
In the rise? Yes, it chronicles the rise and fall. He's probably only in the rise parts, I imagine.
But I'm kind of hoping we get some of the, not like the Jinx, the HBO documentary where the guy maybe murdered someone.
I doubt we get that.
Vince on camera just being like, what do you mean? Like, just getting all angry.
Yeah, no, that's what my question was going to be for how excited I am about this documentary. Is Vince McMahon in it or is he not? And if he is in it, I'm kind of out. If it's anything like the Untold Stories documentaries on Netflix, where basically if the guy's in it, it's just going to be whatever his viewpoint on it is, and that's not always the best in documentary films. But this might be the best way you could do it is to only have him in the first half and then make the second half.
Yeah, we got a text about the Connor Stallions doc. Someone was asking if we watched it yet. Actually, I don't know who they addressed. I think they addressed both of us, but maybe just me twice.
Hey,
Joe, Jorge.
Yeah.
Did you see that Michigan sign stealing scandal thing? No, I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to probably watch when I get home. Even though I swore off Untold Stories after the Aaron McNair one. This one, I'm almost intrigued by it.
Mm-hmm. But this one, you're walking in, again, intrigued, I think is the right word.
Because you're not sitting down
to be like, I have high hopes for this. You're just like, I want to see what they do here.
Yeah, like, how do you have a documentary with, like, a Michigan homer and Dave Portnoy as, like, a big piece of the documentary? Like, what is he going to tell you?
The Michigan fan side of it.
Like, okay. Like, I don't quite.
Yeah, I feel like we've gotten that side. I feel like that part of the story's been told. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not going to watch it. I'm out. I feel like I have better things to do to watch that.
And then Capri Sun is releasing a bottle version of their juice for adults.
Lame.
Is there alcohol in it?
I don't think so. It's just the Capri Sun in a bottle. For adults.
But why does it need to be in a bottle? We can keep it in the pouch?
Yeah, if you're not going to mix anything in it,
just
keep it in the pouch as is.
Yeah, the pouch is fine.
Yeah, I'm good with the pouch. This is just the sign of the times.
You ever open one, you were in school, and there's no straw? That's the worst.
Yes. Where the straw falls off.
The straw falls off, and you don't realize it. All right.
That's you got to, like, poke it with your tooth and, like, suck it out of the hole.
All right. Yes.
Is that what you want to end the show on?
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to show on.
Okay.
I think that's it. All right, that does it for us. We'll be back here tomorrow at LaBerge in Lake Charles. It's here in the sports book. The rest of the station tomorrow will be broadcasting live from East River 9. So that does it for us. We will talk to you guys tomorrow. Peace.
ESPN 97.5.